From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through GEICO, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Hello, hello. It's My Mobile Toaster, episode 2. Today's guest, the brilliant Rosie Holt. Things get very personal very quickly, which is what we always like here on My Mobile Toaster. Enjoy.
There's some quite embarrassing things in there.
Already?
Oh, so it's just the top picks. Just some top picks.
Top picks. Oh, yeah. Well, oh, my God.
Oh, when I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tom Fox talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling the stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's My Mate Water Toaster. Oh, it's My Mate Water Toaster. Yeah, yeah. It's My Mate Water Toaster. Oh, toaster for my love.
Hello, welcome back. This is My Mate Bought a Toaster. Tom Price here with you as ever. And this week I'm joined by the fabulous comedian Rosie Holt. Hello, Rosie.
Hello.
So straight away, you've got embarrassed about your top picks. And we haven't even really gone diving into the past yet, but your present, one of the top picks for you is a high-vis yellow and orange
Why not?
Jacket.
Yeah.
Any reason why that they might be suggesting that for you?
Just sexy times with high-vis, yeah. High-vis jackets. Yeah. Got to be safe. Got to be safe and sexy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's important to be visible when you're doing the business. That's nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good, good. And then, I mean, one down from that, we've got two pairs of silicone nipple covers. This is a great start. This is very early doors for the literal titillation.
I wouldn't buy this. I think I was looking for, sorry to start the podcast with this, I think I was looking for something where you can wear a dress, mm-hmm. which is sort of backless.
Right.
And it's hard.
Yes.
It's hard. You have to think about different ways to get around this.
So hang on. Is this so that people can't see your actual nipples, or is it so people can't see, I'm having to look, avoid eye contact. So they can't see the shape of your nipples. What's the nipple chat here?
So the nipple cover, to be clear, I'm not getting nipple covers. I think it's just suggesting that because I was thinking I was looking for other ways of supporting one's boobs without a bra.
I see.
And it's obviously gone, she'd also like a little nipple cover.
So what are the best ways to support a boob without a bra?
It's very hard.
Yes, it's
It's very hard. It's very hard. If you're a woman with ample bosom, it's really difficult.
So also you can get like back pain, and as you get older, it's like it really hurts and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah, so my aunt, she might not want me saying this, my aunt got a reduction on the NHS because her boobs were so big that they were hurting her back.
This is what happens.
Yeah.
It's very common. You can't use nipple covers for that. You've got to use it. It's either nipple covers or NHS.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's what we're going to do. Right, we're diving back into your past. This is what happens on this show. I'm going back to your first ever orders. 28th of August 2012.
Yes.
That's what we're going back to.
Wow.
This was delivered to Rosie Holt. And you bought Terry Johnson's Dead Funny, Methuen Modern Play. So this is a bit of drama here.
A bit of drama.
Yes. What were you doing in 2012? Were you acting in it? Were you auditioning in it?
I think... how long ago was... I can't do dates.
Fair.
How long ago was 2012?
2012 was...
So it's like 10 years ago.
I'm going to call it and say, what with it being 2022 as we record this? I'm going for a decade.
Right.
Decade.
You're right. Okay. No, that's very clever.
London 2012.
That's very clever. I think I got it for audition purposes.
Okay.
I think there's a speech in there that I liked where, there's a speech in there where this female stand-up comedian,
yes.
gets very angry on stage, and I think she cuts off her hand or something. If I remember that right.
Wow.
She basically starts getting so angry. She has this quite sort of like angry set against men and no one's laughing, and she just like cuts off her, maybe she just cuts off a finger or something, but it's quite intense.
Funny though. Funny.
Yeah, very funny.
Really good way. Very hard to follow that.
If you're
headlining after that.
I wasn't even interested in comedy at that point, and it just shows.
So this is interesting, isn't it? Because so you've had explosive brilliant success in the last year or so with your fantastic videos. They are absolutely brilliant, where you play a very convincing Tory MP, or
yes.
I mean, is she officially Tory, or is she non-denominational but obviously a Tory?
At the moment, she's Tory. I mean, I think she could be. She's just an MP defending her government, really.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Which is in itself comedy gold. But we'll get to that. But going, this is going back, obviously, 10 years, as discussed. So this is you just doing straight acting, not necessarily flirting with the...
With the comedy.
Comedy business.
Yeah, I wasn't flirting with the comedy business.
Interesting.
It was just straight acting. Mm. I think, would I have left... I think I'd left drama school by... I don't even know when I left drama school. But I was at drama school at some point in my
life.
Where
did you go to drama school?
Went to Lambda.
Did you?
Yeah.
Quite serious, isn't it, Lambda?
Yeah, pretty serious.
Yeah.
Pretty serious.
Yeah.
Any serious acting there.
It's like, Benedict Cumberbatch town, isn't it, Lambda? He went to
Lambda. Yeah, he went to Lambda.
Yeah.
I think he was only there for a year, though. I think he was just there, the rubbish course. The,
that's what he needed.
You're not good enough to do 3 years, Benedict. You just do one.
It must be, because I didn't go to drama school, but I always think of, a few of my friends did, and there's always one or two who make it, obviously.
Yeah.
But it must be quite weird looking back on your, that moment when everyone leaves drama school and there's like however many of you in your year 15 or whatever, and you're just like, here we go, world.
Yeah.
And the world just goes.
And the world goes, fuck off.
What? Why are you looking at me? Like, so when did you leave drama school? And how was that first minute of the world looking at you going,
oh,
go
horrible.
Fuck yourself?
Yeah. Because I think also when you go to someone like Lambda, because obviously it's got a big name to it, you kind of, even though you're told only a few people will do well, you kind of assume in your head, you go, I'm going to be famous.
This is the psyche of us fucking idiots. I've been told so many, many times by so many people, some of them paying punters, some of the members of my family, you do know it's really hard to do what you're doing and the chances are you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And every time, I know, I realise that, but I'm going to make it. And this is what he tells us. And then
you have to have a deluded self-belief to stay in the game, I think.
The joy of delusion.
Yeah.
It's very important. And every now and again, reality penetrates the delusion.
Yes.
And it's crushing. But most
like
of the time...
Penetrates is good. Yeah. It's a good word.
Yeah. So you weren't doing comedy. You were just doing the acting.
Yeah, I was just doing the acting. Not, and it wasn't being terribly successful.
What were you doing? Like just
so,
like fringe plays or?
I'd occasionally get work. So it meant that I couldn't completely walk away from it. So I did a very bizarre tour around Germany Romeo and Juliet. Oh, I was Juliet and Romeo was played by this sort of 48-year-old man. And it was really bizarre to all these German children. It's really strange.
Was it in English? In legit Shakespearean English?
But that's the thing. You know how in Shakespeare plays, they always go, when they die, they go, I die, I die. Mm. That was the only bit the audience got. So they thought it was so funny. So every time someone would die, they would be in hysterics.
But how the hell are German? Mind you, I know that German, French, lots of European kids speak better English than us. But how the...
Shakespeare, come on.
God.
Yeah.
So, oh man, those tours. Also, what an age gap.
It was really bad. I was in my 20s. It felt wrong.
Did you have to do Snogs?
Yeah, and he was... I don't want to badmouth. I don't think if you listen to this, but you never know.
You have to be careful with these things.
You have to be careful. You never know.
I had to do Snogs on stage. Yeah. And I did it at Edinburgh with another man. And it was the hottest room in Edinburgh. And every day for a month, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before. I can remember edging towards him thinking, here comes the big kiss. Okay, I'm in character, it's fine.
Yeah.
And on several days, I just saw sweat going down his nose. Getting to the end of his nose, and then like an old man on a frosty morning, the sweat would just drip onto our lips as we kissed.
Oh no, it's horrible.
Okay, fine. All right, so acting, that's the game. Yeah. We're in 2012.
Yeah.
December 2012, you bought Easy Virtue on DVD for £3.75. Can you remember anything about Easy Virtue?
Oh, I do. I bought this for my mum.
Oh.
She didn't like it.
Oh.
She didn't like it. I think it's a great film.
Boo!
I think it's a great film. Thought she'd like it. She didn't. I watched it with her. You know when you watch a film that you like... Yep. And you watch it with someone and you're looking over and you can, and they're just, it saps the joy you have for that film because they're just going, you can't see it, but they're just looking sort of disapproving and sort of unhappy.
There's nothing worse, is there?
Yes,
when you show, it's like when you show someone a YouTube video and you're like, watch this. And then you, instead, they're watching the YouTube video and you're just watching them in this weird triangle. And
oh, it's hideous.
And you realise like 30 seconds in, they're not liking it. And you're like, this is still got 8 minutes to go. Do I bail out? Do I offer a DVD commentary and start saying, gets good now? Just stick with it. Also, the cover of Easy Virtue, Kristen Scott Thomas. He's got good actors. Colin Firth, Jessica Biel. Easy Virtue, let's misbehave. And then there's a picture of a chihuahua on the front.
Yeah.
It does look, I mean...
It's really fun. I think it's a fun... It's a, no, it's an old Cowher play, but it's got kind of modern music in a sort of jazzy 1930s way or whatever it's set.
Yes,
it's fun.
One star here from someone in the movie. Loretta, played by Jessica Biel, is a divorced American, a championship-winning racing driver. She marries in Monaco, a younger man. I never had how to say this word. Scion of a high-class British family. Is it Scion? S-C?
I think it is Scion.
We'll go with Scion. You've trained. So that's a very Lambda thing
but
to
I
know.
Also pronounce everything wrong.
Living nightmare.
It's so bad.
It's and basic
it
stuff.
And undermines, I find, when you're trying to argue about a serious issue.
Yes.
If you pronounce things wrong, people...
Yes.
They don't trust what you're saying.
But especially if you do it in a live podcast or radio vibe.
Yeah.
Behemoth, I got wrong the other day. Behemoth. Or behemoth.
Is it...
I don't know. Oh, the other thing is... As well as not knowing how to pronounce things, I misuse phrases like that's proving to be a real boon. Like, I never know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Ones like that. Yeah. Always screw those ones up.
I thought, is it meme or meme?
Great one. If it's us, it's meme. Because as narcissists, it's impossible to know. Go with meme.
Pretty hard.
Anyway, Scion. Of a high-class British family. He brings her home. She is not welcome. I rather like Jessica Biel. I did not even smile once. I was sorry to have purchased it.
Did my mum write that?
From a nerd disappointed. My daughter has disappointed me in so many ways. I wanted her to be a teacher. How does your mum feel about your life choices?
She actually, you know what? She kind of loves it. At the moment, she loves it because when I appeared in The Guardian, she was very excited. But before that, no.
Do you have supportive family in the going to watch all the sort of, you know, the student plays you did?
Yes,
and all sort of stuff?
I do, which is a double-edged sword, I find.
Yes. Because with my mum especially, I know every single one of her facial expressions. Which my mum, I don't know how, we could probably have a posh off here, but my mum is unbelievably, appallingly repressed and posh.
Yeah.
She only has two facial expressions. Both of them are variants on disappointed. So she'll watch me do anything, and she's only been seeing me in about two plays.
Yeah.
She just has this sort of scrunched up, confused. And at the end, well, I thought he was very good about someone else. Oh, okay, thanks.
Oh, no.
Like, relentless. Relentless. But you don't have that. You have a supportive...
I have a supportive family. Though I remember they came to see me do some stand-up once, and my dad looked so unhappy throughout the whole thing.
This is what they do!
And then afterwards he went, but I mean, you're more of an actor, really.
Oh, my God. I mean, that is just...
He was quite upset. But it was, you know, I think I was talking about some quite raunchy stuff. And I could, you don't want to be doing that and you see your sad-looking parents at the back.
No.
No.
It's awful. It's like I did an Edinburgh preview and there was about 20 minutes of stuff about my marriage and my wife, which sounds hack. It probably was. It's like 10 years ago. I did a preview and there were two people in the audience, one of whom was my wife.
Yeah. So, wait, stop it. I listened to that and then I listened to it.
Picture basically this room with one other person in, and like that
that's
other
like
person's my wife,
therapy.
And I'm talking to you about her. It was horrific. It was horrific.
What's the purchase history of this jokester? Stay tuned for my mate bought a toaster.
Rosie Holt, let's move on now to 2013, okay? Only one item bought in 2013.
Oh.
Okay. And it's a good one. It's the album Reflector by Arcade Fire, which is a fantastic album and a wonderful band.
Oh, wow. I don't remember buying that.
Well, you did. On the 12th of December. Was it a gift?
I think I might have lost it.
Well.
Or maybe it was a gift.
You can find it on Spotify where it's basically free.
Thank you.
It might have been a gift, you know, December 2013.
I mean, I like Arcade Fire. I like that song a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I went to see them. Glastonbury.
Did you? Were they amazing?
Yeah, they were really good. That was Glastonbury like 08 or 09.
Yeah.
When you're sort of, I was in my 20s and I looked at the long list of people who were on a Glastonbury and just knew every single act. You know that?
Yeah.
Or lots of
them. Yeah.
And then now, this year.
Now. Also, it's got a bit like poppy now, isn't it?
Mm.
And mind you, what I miss about the 90s.
Good. Oh, my God. Regular listeners will know that I have just been triggered in a good way. Good. Yes. Go on. This is...
Well, there was all these amazing bands, but also these amazing bands that were sort of easy to find. They were in the charts.
Mm.
And now I feel that you have to really go looking and know your stuff. And I'm not good at that.
Mm.
So I feel Spotify forces me to listen to absolute bilge because I don't have... the wherewithal to work out how to find good music.
So what you need is some sort of radio station Do you know what I mean? Like a favourite disc jockey on
I like Six Music.
Six Music, right.
Yeah, I like
obviously,
Six
I was going
Music.
To say come and listen to Magic, but that's you're going to have a lot of ABBA churned through your ears, so you don't have to do that. But this is the thing. You listen to, obviously, Lauren Laverne stuff on Six Music, and you'll find new acts, and then you go into Spotify, and then that will generate stuff. What you need is you need a curator to come over to your Spotify and sit there with you and go, right, just listen to this, and then that will
that
feed
is,
you through.
That is what I need, because at the moment I'm stuck in this sort of whirlpool of awful... either awful current pop, which I don't like, or 90s bands, which I do like. But then I'm thinking...
Got to move on at some stage.
Yeah, got to move
on. Got to move on at some stage. I can't listen to Catatonia, International Velvet, every day. You've got to move on. This is so true. I wonder if there's a thing about when you get to your... And I don't know how old you are. I'm in my early 40s. You get to a point where you feel, obviously, politically homeless. Then you feel sort of culturally homeless as well, where you're just going, well, that's not for me, and that's not for me. So you sort of do feel like society is sort of crusting its way and the wagons are being circled and you're on the wrong side.
And then before you know it, you're going, young people.
Then you're running a podcast.
I'm with young people.
And you just keep going, they don't know they were born. They just watch YouTube all the time. Don't know why I was doing that, like some sort of pervert.
No, that's what we talk about now.
That's what you do. All right, fine. Look, let's go to 2014 now, okay. Rosie. This is interesting. Okay, good. So we have got... interesting things happening here. I sense Edinburgh Fringe business going on, right?
Probably.
Because you have bought there's a book, and this isn't just my sort of implying and sort of drawing out cleverly Edinburgh Fringe. You've literally bought a book called How to Produce, Perform and Write an Edinburgh Fringe Comedy Show. So that really is on the nose for me as an indication. And this is by Ian Fox. A useful book to get. Really, if you want to do an Edinburgh comedy show, very useful. If you want to do something else, not so much.
Just was getting it for light reading. No interest in the Edinburgh Fringe at all.
Yeah. Just an interesting story. Did this help? Did you read it?
I did read it. I think the problem is whenever you get those books, it's like when you read those books which goes, how to lose loads of weight. It never gives you the magic answer that you want.
You're absolutely right. This book should be called How to Lose Loads of Money.
Yes.
Because that is an important part of the process.
That is part of the process.
But you're right. No, of course, those books are never the solution. Yeah. The act of buying them is more you telling yourself you're going to do something.
Yeah.
So that its physical appearance in your life is like, well, I'm going to do Edinburgh now because I spent 11 quid on a book.
Yes.
So it's going to happen. So was that your first Edinburgh in 2014?
2014. So I think that was the Edinburgh. I won a competition called So You Think You Write Funny, which was a sort of bastard child of So You Think You're Funny, less well known.
That's a good idea. I didn't know that existed. Brilliant.
No one does. That's the problem.
What a brilliant idea, though.
And so the Gilded Balloon gave me sort of an hour slot there.
Oh,
I didn't really know what to do with it.
No.
So it was kind of... I was kind of giving it too soon because I'd only just started writing. I'd sort of written a sort of short comedy scene and then it won. And I thought, shit, what am I going to do now?
Was it just you?
Well, I ended up sort of drafting in some actor friends and doing this show, which I think was fine. But it was I felt like a lot of pressure and like I didn't know what I was doing. It was interesting. And I think I bought that book because I needed all the help I could get.
You also bought this classic Edinburgh prop, the Annika Rubberwood folding wooden TV table and two chairs.
Yes, this was the year I did So You Think You Write Funny, and I had it was a little musical show.
There you go.
I had my friend who was a musician playing songs, and
it's lovely. And you bought a red and white gingham check plastic tablecloth.
Yeah.
So you can build a cafe. This takes place in a cafe.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
This is a weird description. You bought a six percussion piece children's musical instruments, but they're called specifically children's multicultural musical instruments.
Wow.
Bloody fucking woke musical instruments. Unbelievable.
I wonder what's happened to them now. I don't know where they've got to. They're probably somewhere in my parents' house.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you go, Mum and Dad won't notice. I'll pop this in the garage.
Using your parents' house as big yellow storage is one of the... And my mum lives in a tiny bungalow. And I would genuinely say she's got three kids who are all grown up. And all have enough space to deal with their own shit. I would say 30% of her bungalow is our old shit. But that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what they're there for.
And you go back to your parents' house. This must have been like when you went back in lockdown.
Yeah.
It's like a museum to you.
It is. There is, and that gives you something to do in lockdown, actually. Go through old things.
I love, there's nothing but a drawer with all my, it's got like love letters in it from when I was like 13, and it's got all the old school magazines.
Yeah.
I just, it's great. It's like falling into a YouTube hole of your own past.
And then occasionally they go, why don't you clear up some of your stuff? And you go, get rid of all this? You want to get rid of these memories?
This is my life. Why would you do this?
Don't you care?
The British Museum will want this as well, guys.
Yeah.
For God's sake, don't do that. It's amazing how much stuff there is. And yeah, the terror is when parents cark it, I'm going to have to go back and just, I'm not going to be pointing her stuff.
And that's the thing, is that then we'll be sorry. When they die, we have to clear out the house and it's all our shit.
Yeah. And other people will be there going, my God, your parents kept all your stuff. It's so sweet. And you'll be like, yeah, they really loved me and I gave them no choice. Elsewhere in December 2014, this is interesting. This relates to something you've already mentioned. Video right. Nasties, The Definitive Guide,
DVD yeah.
by Mark Morris. Tell us about this, please.
I gave this to my brother.
Excellent.
We used to watch lots of Video Nasties with, so I thought it'd be a fun present to get because it's just something we used to do together. We used to watch all the Video Nasties, like Evil Dead,
yes.
Drilla Killer.
The titles are amazing.
They were great. And also because I don't like, you know, horror movies, nasty horror movies now. They're nasty in a really sort of torture porny.
I cannot bear it. Also, The Walking Dead has done it. It's influenced so much drama now,
yeah.
The torture porn thing. Stranger Things did it a little bit. With the new series, The Walking Dead did it really badly. And you just go, this is just cruelty. This
yeah.
isn't any, I'm not enjoying this on any level.
Yes, completely. So this is a bit left field. Do you see the Sherlock with Benedict Cumberbatch? The last one.
No.
The last one was like weirdly torture porny. I mean, it wasn't because it was still sort of, but it was just kind of mean. And I thought,
what happens when you only do a year at Lambda?
That's what
happens. You don't develop enough.
If you don't do the whole 3 years,
you'll just do torture porn.
Then you'll end up ruining a perfectly good franchise. Toast them all, my Lord, thank God. Toast them.
So 2014, still Rosie Holt still acting away.
She's wow. So I'm starting.
Third person
doing,
her. Third person her. I like that. You went she then. Good. I love that. This is like therapy. Tell us about this person. What is she like?
So Rosie Holt is at this point. Yeah, I was still acting. I was moving into comedy. I hadn't started doing stand up, but I was going like I'd written this sort of comedy show for Gilded Bloom, but it wasn't stand up.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of going, oh, what do I do now? Because my acting was still not going anywhere. But I was living at the time with Harriet Kemsley.
Oh, yes, lovely Harriet Kemsley.
And she was doing stand-up. And I went to see a lot of her doing stand-up. And I thought, oh, this sounds... why would I want to do this? Awful.
I think you're better at acting, Harriet. Harriet. Can you hear me? She doesn't hear me.
No, I want to be clear. I thought she was amazing.
Yeah, she's brilliant,
but it was just going to a lot of sort of, you know, strange... pub rooms with yes. terrible acts, and you go, oh God.
Yes, but there's that moment, isn't there, when you see terrible acts and you think, well, if
yeah, they can do it.
That's the thing about the stand-up circuit in this country, and we mustn't talk about stand-up too much because I always do this on this podcast, but it's so accessible. It certainly was in the past. You know, anyone can just walk into a pub and get a set and off you go, up
yeah.
and running. That is amazing. 2015, no orders. 2016, no orders.
Oh, look at me.
Times were tough.
Oh.
You were.
Maybe I was making a stand.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazon.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then look, 2017, a hint of what's to come. We've got the Joby Griptite GorillaPod stand for smartphones. So this is one of those sort of, it looks like a sort of plastic spider and it's got those amazing legs that you can wrap around anything and then you can put a camera anywhere, basically, put your phone anywhere.
But I don't remember buying that and I don't have that. So what happened to it?
Well, I mean, sadly, there isn't that option available. There isn't tracking on this.
Because I could have done with that. I could have really done with that. I definitely didn't see it.
That is a common thread on this podcast. People going, oh, I've lost that. That's what this podcast should be called, Things
that?
I've Lost.
Oh, my God.
So this is presumably, you're filming yourself. I mean, it's December, so it could be a Christmas present, I guess. Quite a weird Christmas
present.
Yeah,
weird Christmas present.
But are you doing self-tapes for auditions? Or are you starting to make your own comedy videos by this point?
Yeah, so yes, I'm doing stand-up by that point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not getting any acting work at all. I think my acting work had really died in 2017.
That happens. But then it comes back again.
Then it does come
back. Maybe.
It did come back again. Mm. Came back again the year before lockdown.
Great, and that's when it comes back, just before the world stops.
Yeah, that's
great.
What
Thanks, acting career.
Yeah, that's great.
Have you stuck with the same agent? Have you flipped around on the old agent?
So I actually had, I changed agents about six months before, the September before the pandemic.
Oh, right.
It's the only way I can think about things.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So, and it was a good agent and I was excited. And then I was just about to go, before the pandemic hit, I was about to do a 6 month tour in America.
Oh, really?
An acting tour. And then it all fell through.
That's interesting. But yeah. Surely we say it's good it fell through, right? Because then you got...
Then
you started
I became
making,
internet famous.
You became At Rosie Holt, right?
I became At Rosie Holt. Well, so, At Rosie is a Holt.
Is that what you are? Sorry.
That's right? What... That, important. Yeah, that's... Thanks. That's
really you need important. More followers. but so what was the tour in America going to be?
It was a very funny show called The Crown Live. And it was a parody of The Crown, Netflix The Crown. But it was just me and one other actor, Brendan Murphy, playing all the roles.
Oh, that is really good.
It was really fun. It was such a silly show, but it was really funny. It was written by Dan Clarkson, who's very funny. We performed it in London and Edinburgh, actually. It had done very well. So we then got these American producers who were interested in giving us a six-month tour.
And so when you're doing that, when you're flipping out of character, that's one of the hardest things I find. As an actor, I'm utterly, my agent listens to this podcast. I've got a lot of flexibility and I, you know, can do a lot of accents, but I find it really hard to flip between characters.
Yeah.
That's really, so like putting a different crown on. But are you, and also quite difficult, because if you're playing different members of the royal family, like I'll go to my posh drawer, but then there's one character.
Yeah,
there.
You've got to get the different variations of the posh.
Right. So that's hard.
Yeah. Well, it was sort of the queen, you know, it's like that. But then you know, Margaret was more.
I love it.
Well, because it's stupid. It's great. You don't have to be too realistic.
But also, it's for the Americans. So you can just be like, hello there, I'm Princess Diana, the Princess of Wales.
And they go, oh my God. They'd be like, so posh. Oh my God.
I love what she's done there.
I love her accent.
Patreon.com/toasterpod. Hey, listen, 2018 now, Rosie Holt. This is interesting. Two things bought.
Yes.
Very close to you. On the same day.
Oh.
I wonder if you're the only person in the world who's ever done this. On the same day, you bought Carrie by Stephen King and the Quran.
Okay, well... that was... So I was dating... A Muslim man.
Okay.
He's a good comedian. You probably know him. And I was, trying to understand it a bit. We've been seeing each other for quite a while. I think we've been together for about a year and a bit after when I bought the Quran. I thought, you gotta.
That's lovely. And did you buy him Carrie so he could understand you? But that's great.
I just find that weirdly embarrassing. It's weirdly exposing.
Welcome to the show. That's what happens. I'm going to sit back and enjoy this.
I think I bought Carrie for myself. I think Carrie was for me. The Quran was for him, but me for me reading it.
Did you have the Quran so he'd see you reading it, and then inside the Quran you're reading Carrie, going, this is amazing.
I mean, the Quran's quite, I mean, you know, I don't want to offend it. It's quite hard going.
Mm. Well, all religious texts often are hard going, aren't they? Difficult to read.
So Carrie is a bit of light relief. Mind you, Carrie actually also deals with religion.
Yeah, exactly. Stephen King. You know, that's what he does. He's amazing. Yeah. Many, many levels. So tell me about reading the Quran. How much of it did you actually read?
I don't think I got very far.
No.
And there's a lot about how non-believers, basically, it doesn't end well for non-believers.
Okay. We're often told, aren't we? And I haven't read it. I haven't read any of it. There's lots of love in there, and there's lots of amazing stuff.
Yes, there is. Yeah. I think I got about halfway through.
That's pretty good.
Maybe not even halfway through. I did make a good effort, though. Mm. I think I made a good effort. Yeah.
Did you try and bring it up in conversation with your other half then? Just like, no, I was reading
page
42.
Never,
what's your favourite page of the Quran?
Never went down well.
also worth pointing out here, Stephen King. I mean, let's just have a moment to adore Stephen King because he's amazing,
right? Yes, great.
Unbelievably prolific. He's still churning out books. He's got his own label now.
Also, some of his books are really... they go really mad. I don't think, because obviously we know all the sort of TV and film adaptions. You don't realise when you read the books, they go really bonkers. Like, for example, The Shining in the book.
Yeah.
Some of it, like, obviously, a lot of it, great. But then some of it goes, you just go, this is bonkers.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit where he's basically getting chased by hedge animals. And you're going, this is, I can see why Stanley Kubrick was like, ah, we might not do that bit.
It's yeah, I mean, he there's always a point in Stephen King books, certainly a certain point of him writing, maybe he still does it now, but he's gone sort of more crime recently. He did the Mercedes trilogy, which was amazing, but that had horror elements to it.
Yeah,
but in the sort of peak 80s 90s, The Shining, The Stand, Pet Sematary, things like that, Needful Things was the one I loved.
Yeah,
you'd massive chunk of a book.
Yeah, they're so big,
and I love that display of reading a big book. I always felt very, like, not clever, but just like I'm losing myself in this massive world. But you're right, there was always about page 300 where I go, oh, Stephen.
What the fuck? That's a bit bonkers.
What's happening?
Why
here,
are the
mate?
Children having an orgy, Stephen?
Dear Stephen, why are the children... Please, Stephen. But it's what he does, and he's an absolute genius, and we love him. And it's such an impressive guy to still be churning out amazing books now. I wonder if his books are as good as Lexi Renard's Teaching Sierra, the BDSM training school book.
Fuck off! Is that in there? Wow. Do you know what was sad about that book? I'll tell you something sad about that book.
Go on.
Bought that book. Why not?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And I'm almost certain that my mum found it and threw it away. Because I had it in my room. I know where I put it, and disappeared. There's no other way it could have disappeared. I think she saw it. She was like, why is there this revolting book?
I can't. I'm just looking down now. That is, I mean, in a way, if you're into BDSM and you're into sort of, if you're a masochist, the pain of your mum finding it, that's quite arousing.
Because I'd like to stay on the record, I'm not into BDSM. But I, you know, like,
I just wanted
a sexy book.
Yeah, then that's
but
right.
Unfortunately, my mum found the sexy book. And
oh God, your mum found it.
Yeah, really embarrassing.
Have you talked to her about
it? No. Because I also know, she, like, I know that there's no other way it could have disappeared.
How did you just threw it away?
Also,
ask your dad to have a look in her drawers. Can you imagine?
Wouldn't that be awful?
Oh my God, that would just be so upsetting. Mum, it's not a book club.
Mum, where's my sexy book? It's a bit BDSM-y, but not too much, Mum. Just a bit.
You know, mainstream BDSM, commercial.
I don't like the like, soft BDSM, not the really... I don't like the really fit, really too much stuff.
Can I read the book description?
Yeah, sure, why not? I'll tell you about it. I used to read it a lot.
Okay, fine, it's well thumbed. The BDSM Academy is rarely spoken of beyond a whisper. Nobody even quite knows where it is, but if you beg the owners and dominants of the most respected dungeons, they may pass your name along for consideration. Rosie, darling! Rosie, I've found this! I'm just wondering... Sierra has always dreamed of being a man's toy, completely submissive.
Oh,
but then
man.
She's so shy that she's afraid to approach them or ask for what she wants. In order to become a sensual, sexually free being, she will need to give herself completely and practice perfect obedience for her new master. It's lovely. Very modern.
Wow. Who knew?
And now I can just...
Is it just... Look
at their reviews. I like this book. It's a dirty old man. I thought it would jump right into hardcore teaching about BDSM. It did not. It eased slowly, learning in a very descriptive way. That was nice for a change. I enjoyed reading this story. Two people find this helpful. One second. Three people find this helpful. Don't forget, I'm in your account. So,
okay. I rate all the reviews.
But this is what's great about Amazon, you know. This is the sort of thing that was on the top shelf at Smith's and you'd be too scared to go and get and there.
That's the thing, because I once had a... point where I was I'd go to the sexy bookshelf in Waterstones and it was always sort of next to the sci-fi, so you could read it and then hide it and then think, and you'd sort of stand there reading it and you'd think people think I'm reading a sci-fi. Yeah. And then one time I got approached, I was reading some sexy book, and this woman tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around and she was like, hello, and I was like, oh shit. And I was like, hi. I was thinking, what, is she lost, or is she gonna tell me for reading this sexy book? She turned out to be a Jehovah's Witness. So she started asking me if I'd found God, and I was holding this filthy book. And I just thought it was awful. I was thinking, has she seen the book? Is that why she's approaching me? Or has she not seen the book? In which case I need to get the book into the shelf without her seeing.
Wow.
Otherwise, I'm going to be so mortified.
You know, I'm not interested in the good book. I'm interested in the bad book. That's what you should have said to her and just walked away. Wow.
Yeah, it was really...
So she didn't spot you were...
If she did, she didn't say anything. I mean, she went on, and that horrible thing where you're holding it and you're thinking, how, what am I going to do? This is so, it's all you can think about.
Yes, yes.
Sweating in your hands. Can I read to you from, this is page 14.
It's just got this woman's buttocks on the front.
Very hard to browse, you know, erotic literature, though, isn't it? It's hard
it
to browse
really
that.
It really is. That's why Amazon is Amazon for all its faults.
Right.
You can just get it out.
Yeah.
Want to get into the BDSM, but sort of slowly ease yourself into
as
it?
It's set, yeah, it's there for you. But also, I'm not sure how appropriate it is that they're putting the erotica next to the sci-fi, because the sci-fi does attract a certain type of, and I'm a big sci-fi fan, there's a male nerd who'll be there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Next to someone like you reading BDSM, that's going to be distracting for someone who's looking at, you know, could he complete the culture books of Ian M. Banks? And you're there looking at whips and chains. It's going to be distracting.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Look, here we go. We're into 2020 now. So we are edging towards the spot where you suddenly become at Rosie is Holt. What is it? At Rosie?
Rosie is a Holt.
Rosie is a Holt.
At Rosie is a Holt.
Why at Rosie is a Holt?
Well, because I think I wasn't allowed, because obviously I set my Twitter account ages ago.
Yeah.
And I think I wasn't allowed Rosie Holt.
Okay.
So really what I should have done is put Rosie _ Holt or something, but I didn't. I thought Rosie is a Holt. I don't know. I don't know why.
It's worked fine.
It's fine. It's worked fine.
And look, we can see what's going on your Amazon purchase history. You have bought £30 you've spent. I mean, that's probably how much money you make on a Twitter video. You've bought a, don't nod, 25th of November, you bought the 12-inch ring light with stand and phone holder.
Yeah.
Dimmable 3-colour streaming light. Send me that crap from China. I mean...
Yes, there we go. All that.
This must have been a super exciting time for you. 18th of May 2020. This is right when it was kicking off, isn't it? We're a few months into lockdown.
Yes.
You bought this smartphone video kit. You bought a lighting jack adapter. So this is £80 you spent on the stuff to record yourself at home. Tell us about the first video you did as Rosie Holt MP and what you anticipated would happen and what actually happened.
Well, actually, so the first video I did was not of Rosie Holt MP that took off. It was of this other character that I now have a podcast of.
Excellent.
Who was a sort of angry talking head. You know, like on GB News or Talk Radio, where they go on and they get really irate about things. Mm. So I put up a video. It was during all the Black Lives Matter marches. Mm-hmm. So I put up a video of this woman going, this is disgusting. They're destroying democracy, just like Stalin did, who incidentally I have a statue of in my garden. Not because I admire Stalin, but I admire history. And just gets more extreme in her saying, I've got Nazi memorabilia in her room. She's like, and then someone's like, do you have Taliban memorabilia? And she's like, no, because I'm a Christian. And I put that up and it blew up, and lots of people, again, like my MP character, a lot of people thought it was real. So I had a lot of really angry messages saying, how dare you have a statue of Stalin in your garden?
It's incredible.
You should take it down. I went, oh, you're proving my point, aren't you? The point I was making.
But this is what happens when you are in this incredible social media sphere. People don't have any nuance or wits about them, and they just react to stuff like that and go, this is obviously this person's... And that happens a lot, right, with the Tory MP character.
Yes,
and it's
wonderful.
Completely. Who are the best people you've caught out? Because you've caught out some quite big names.
I had AC Grayling, which was great. Who actually was quite magnanimous about it and went, yeah, she got me. Because some of them they're so embarrassed, they just delete.
Of course. Yeah.
And also Philip Pullman, who was like, disgraceful.
What is it with you and atheists? They don't have a sense of humour at all, do they?
And Henry Bolton, the ex UKIP leader.
Oh God, that man's awful.
And he was like, this woman's awful. He was like, this woman, you know, so he was criticising her.
Wow.
He was criticising her. He was saying she wasn't a good MP. And then I had quite a few. I had about three MPs sort of posting this woman is awful. And then when they realised, they quickly deleted their tweet.
Yeah. Didn't David Lammy go for you? I'm sure David Lammy.
No, David Lammy's always got the joke.
He gets the joke.
He gets the joke.
He would do. He's a top guy. I love David Lammy.
I met him and he's so sweet because he went, it was at this sort of event thing and we got interested. And then he went, there were some biscuits on the table and he went, and I was standing at the spinners. He went, oh, can I just get, and I went, no, David, they're not for you. And he went like this. He went, oh, okay, sorry. And I went, I was going, no, I'm joking, of course they are.
Lammy, come back. Lammy, he's gone. Oh, God.
I thought Sir Mark was a really nice person. He just goes, he's someone you go, no, these biscuits aren't for you. And they go, oh, okay, don't worry.
delicious. You know, there's this thing, isn't there, in screenwriting where you're supposed to give away someone's entire character in a tiny moment.
Yeah.
Just a tiny glimpse that gives you a whole sense of them. And that is it for David Lammy.
I thought it was, yeah.
I instantly go, oh, I know what kind of guy he is.
Yeah, completely.
Elia body tape. Is that more...
Oh, that's because that's why it recommended the silicone nipples.
Oh, this brings us back full circle to where we were at the beginning.
Yeah, there we go. That's why. That's what I was trying to buy. And do you know what? The body tape, it doesn't work.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. So listen, guys, don't tape up your body and spend money on a green screen.
Unless you've got small pert nipples, then I think it works.
Yeah. It might could work for that, actually. Look, okay, and then final thing we're going to do is... So, Indus, you can see you've got not yet dispatched, right? nothing not yet dispatched. And you can also do... If I just go to
is
your...
Is it another BDSM novel?
You go to your lists... And you can see your wish list.
Oh.
And now you do a thing which I do, which is you just put loads of books on your wish list. Although you've not updated your wish list. Oh, no, 2nd of January 2020. It's all books, including the Mary Stuart books.
I love Mary Stuart.
Well, why don't you buy them? They're on your, you know, on your wish
list. I think I've read most of them. Mary Stuart was like, I think she was 1960s, 1950s.
Yeah.
And they're thrillers. They're great.
Twisty, unputdownable.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are.
This is what you need.
And they're quite sexy.
That's great.
They're brilliant.
It doesn't necessarily look that sexy on the front as well.
Well, they're kind of sexy in a sort of 1950s way.
Unshaved. Okay, I see. I see.
There isn't any actual sex. It's not like Chili Cooper, which I also love, by the way.
I saw Chili Cooper. We went past Chili Cooper.
Oh, do we? Oh.
Because we have often stopped off at the Chili Cooper thing.
I adore Chili Cooper.
It is something we regularly do on this podcast to say how amazing Chili Cooper is.
I really love Chili Cooper.
Amazing. If she was a bit more BDSM-y, you'd be right there. But she kind of hints at it, doesn't she, in some
of
the covers?
She does. And also some of you know, it covers all bases, I feel. I mean, they are, I don't think the young, woke 20-something would like her books because they're a bit un-PC. But they're so good.
But they're good.
They're so good. And they're funny. Do you know what I think's talked about enough? I think they're funny. I think she's a witty writer.
Yes, yes.
She's a witty writer.
Catelyn Moran is always going on about how amazing Jilly Cooper is. She says she's inspired her. There's loads of people who love her. She's
absolutely
great.
I think she's great.
Listen, talking of people that we think are great, I think you're great, Rosie Holt. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I love what you do. Keep the fighting the good fight and keep confusing Tories who think you might be a Tory or maybe you're not. Do check out Rosie. She's on Twitter as rosie_is_a_ofthehaltz.com.
Rosie is a Holt. Just type in Rosie Holt. They'll find me.
You'll find the bits. Rosie, I'm going to log out of your Amazon.
Thanks.
It makes me quite sad because I've really enjoyed being in there. That was a nice. That was my happy place. Thank you so much. That's it. You're done.
It's my mate, butter toaster. Oh, it's my mate, butter toaster. Yeah, yeah. My mate, butter toaster. Oh, toaster for my love. Thank God, toaster.
There you go, the fabulous Rosie Holt. Give her a follow on Twitter like you don't already. And do us a favour, you know what I'm going to say. All the subscribing, the rating, reviewing, all that gubbins really, really helps. If you get a chance to do it, please do. Thank you in advance. Thanks for listening. As I have said, I think I mentioned this last week, we're doing the show live at the Winchester Comedy Festival on the 1st of October. If you fancy coming to watch it, winchestercomedyfestival.co.uk. It would be fab to see you there. And as ever, if you want to support the podcast, get episodes early and ad-free, patreon.com/toasterpod. I need a song for that, really.
Patreon.com/toasterpod.